Take out your Bibles, and we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. One of the things that I really want to do is to direct people and to show the importance that everything we have, every quality that we need, everything comes through Jesus Christ. If we do not have Jesus Christ, then we don't have all the things the Bible talks about, including eternal life. That's why it's so important. So important to make sure you have Christ, that you've believed Him, you've believed on Him, you've believed Him. That's what believing means to believe what He said. A lot of people believe on Him intellectually, but they don't believe what He said. And they believe what He said, therefore, was not right. If they believe what He said was not right, then they believe what He said was wrong. Can anyone go to heaven by believing Jesus Christ is wrong? You have to believe that Jesus Christ was right to go to heaven. Now, you have to personalize it, too. But nobody goes to heaven by believing that Jesus Christ was wrong. When people say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, Jesus Christ taught there was a hell. In fact, He talked more about hell than He did about heaven. That's interesting. Warning people about that. If you don't believe in hell, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You believe Jesus was wrong. And people who believe Jesus was wrong are not going to heaven. You have to believe Jesus was right to go to heaven. And so we have His Word here. It talks about His Word being perfect. You believe there's mistakes in the Bible, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Because there can't be mistakes in the Bible. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words, His words, and His words are not filled with errors and mistakes. It's perfect, perfect. So you have to believe Him, believe on Him, believe Him, believe about Him, all those things. Believe what the Bible says about Him. And we need to understand that a general person we're talking about would miss so much without Christ. In fact, he would miss the most important things in this world or the next world without Christ. And what we have without Christ. All right, what are some of these things? First of all, in 2 Peter, let's read here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there's the difference there. There's the division. Now if you would turn to Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. What do we have through Jesus Christ? Through Jesus Christ, first of all, God is merciful to us. God can be merciful to us. Otherwise, we're just under the law. We're just under judgment. We're only under condemnation. Before I get to Titus here, which I will, so just find Titus. But in James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So opposites are mercy on one side, judgment on the other. They're opposites. It's not both. There's a justice in our salvation, but as sinners, we need mercy. Because we have sin, we need God's mercy. We need God to look upon us, not in justice, not in judgment, not in what's right, but we need God's mercy. Because I am a sinner, and you are a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all need the mercy of God. We need God to deal with us not as we deserve, but out of His mercy. We don't want to be in the place where we're getting what we deserve. I don't know if you understand that, but that's not what you want. Let me try to make that clear this morning. If you say, well, I'm doing the best I can, I'm a pretty good person, and I'm going to stand in my own righteousness, I'm going to do some good things, and I'm going to make it on my own, let me tell you something, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're as wrong as wrong could be. There's nothing you can do to get yourself saved. You need to stand in somebody else's righteousness. You need Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room this morning needs Jesus Christ. Now, some in this room this morning have believed on Him already, and they've turned to Him with all their heart, and they are saved, and they are born again. But I think there's some this morning that are not yet really saved and born again. You need the mercy of God. You need to understand that. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. See the we and His, the difference there? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through... Now, there's our key word this morning, through. T-H-R-O-U-G-H. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Justified by His grace, not our works. But it's through Jesus Christ. Through what He has done. We go through Christ to get all these different things I'm going to talk about this morning. We have to go through Christ to get them. We don't get them directly. We don't get them without Christ. We need Christ. Number one, God is merciful. God shows His mercy to us, but only through Jesus Christ. Secondly, God's love is only available through Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. God is loving because of Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live, there's our word, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through Him. Who is the Him here? The Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, forever life. Through Him, through Jesus Christ. You realize mercy only comes through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, all we have is judgment and justice and condemnation. Without Jesus Christ, there's no mercy. Without Jesus Christ, there's no love of God in anyone's life. It's only through Jesus Christ. God generally loves everybody. There's a general love for everybody. But then it's centered on Jesus Christ. And only those that have believed on Him will go to heaven someday. Only those that have believed on Him. It's through Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I know some of these things. Okay, let's just have it driven in a little more today. A third thought here, God is giving only because and through Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, an heir through Christ. I cannot imagine what we have waiting for us in heaven, Christian. What He's given us already, even in this life. He's given us the assurance of eternal life, even in this world already. I have an assurance that I'm going to go to heaven someday. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He has done for me. He gives eternal life. He gave us this Bible, His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit. When I got saved, when anyone gets saved, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. What a difference. He gives us the hope of eternal life. Someday we'll be in heaven forever. And it all comes through Jesus Christ. Why am I saying this? Because many people are saying there's other ways to heaven. But Jesus Himself says, I am the way. I'm not a way to heaven. I am the way. That word T-H-E means the one and only way to heaven. He's the only way. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 again. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. Now you have to surrender to be a servant to be saved. But then He also makes you a son. The prodigal son coming home was a perfect picture of that, wasn't he? He came home and he rehearsed in his mind what he's going to say. He says, Father, forgive me, for I talk about his sin. He said, and make me as one of thy servants. For I am no more worthy to be called thy son. until a person realizes they are no more worthy to be a son of God, until a person is ready and willing to become a servant of God, they will not become a son of God. Did I make that point clear? You understand that this morning? People want to be sons of God. They want to be saved and all that, but they don't want to serve the Lord. But the prodigal son shows that. Other place in the Bible, we have to humble ourselves there. But when we're willing to be a servant, God makes us a son. Wow. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom, the whom there is the Lord himself, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have God's forgiveness. God forgives us. By the way, people say, can you have forgiveness of sins without repentance? You know, the Bible's so clear on this. I don't know how people miss it. You can't have forgiveness of sins without repentance. If a person can continue on as a rebel against God and continue on loving sin and wanting to do sin all their lives, I mean, there's no repentance there. There's no difference there. There's no change there. Then can a person really be a son of God without repenting of the sin, having that desire in their life to get rid of that sin, being convicted about it, being convinced about it, being guilty about it, feeling that guilt about it, and then turning from that sin? Can they then be a son of God without repentance toward God? The Bible is clear. What does it say, Christian? No. No, it can't. Colossians chapter 1, again, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. To get to heaven, you got to deal with your sin issue. Some people deal with it by denying it. They say, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm really not that bad. Not everybody is a serial killer. Not everybody sins that much. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all rebelled against him. And that's really what sin is. It's being a rebel against him. But God is forgiving, but it's only through Jesus Christ. You've got to deal with your sin issue, and there's only one way that the Bible says, that God says, we deal with our sin issue. We have to believe on Christ. We have to repent of our sins. We have to believe on him and believe what Jesus Christ has done. And then we can have forgiveness of sins. But it's only through Christ. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Allah. It's not through these other gods. It's not through Mary. It's only through Jesus Christ, believing on him. That's where forgiveness is. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no forgiveness of sins. Then what would our eternity hold for us? What would our future hold? Next thing that God gives us through Christ is peace, the peace of Christ that he offers. You know, I'm not afraid of going to hell anymore. Praise the Lord for that. I'm not afraid that someday I'm going to end up in the flaming fires forever and ever. God gives an assurance this side of the grave that we can know about eternity. We can know for sure that we're going to heaven someday. I'm going to be in heaven someday, and I know about it not because I'm that good. None of us are. But I have believed on the Lord, I've turned to him, and through Jesus Christ now, I have a peace in my heart that I know when that time comes, that I'm going to be in heaven someday with him. As difficult as funerals are, and they are difficult. When you know for sure that the person was a Christian, what a difference it makes, doesn't it? The people that are still left here, they know where that one has gone. They know for sure where they are now. And they know that someday there's going to be a time when they'll see them again. When they go up in heaven, there's a grand reunion day someday. We want to see people saved. That's why we want to see our family saved. That's why we want to see our friends saved, because we want them in heaven with us. We have the assurance of eternal life. We want others to have it. And what a peace it brings into our lives when we know for sure, that we're going to be in heaven someday. What a joy. the peace that's there. Do you know for sure that when you leave this world, you're going to be in heaven someday? Now, be honest about that. If you don't have that assurance, don't just say yes because you're supposed to say yes or we expect it. If you're not sure, I want you to be sure. But don't lie about it. If you're not sure, I mean, you cannot say, how can that pastor say there? How can those Christians say that they know for sure they're going to heaven? Or do they think they're that good? Or you have doubts about it? If you have doubts about it, please be honest about those doubts. There is an answer. But the answer is not trying to hide the doubts. The answer is bringing out those doubts, praying about those doubts, reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And those doubts can be gone, and you can be assured of a home in heaven someday for yourself too. But don't deny your doubts. If you have doubts, pray about them. Ask God to give you assurance. Ask God to give you information. Ask God to give you faith. Ask God to give you whatever it is you don't have yet. You might not even know what it is. Ask the Lord to give you what you still need so you can have that peace and assurance and confidence also. Ask the Lord to give you that and look for His answers in His Word. He'll give it to you. But you can have peace. It only comes through Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. God is also open to us because of Christ. We have open prayer through Christ. We have fellowship through Christ. We have eternal life through Christ. Many people, they just do not want to really believe on the Lord because they don't want to really surrender all they have. And as born sinners, born rebels, they fight God. They fight God's holiness. They really don't want to live a righteous life. It seems like the world is having more fun than they are. They fight His authority. They want to be the boss, not God. That's hard to turn that authority over to God. People just want to be their own boss. They want everybody to do what they want to do. So they fight the holiness of God. They fight the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's a problem. They want the loving part, but they don't want the other parts of God. They want to take just a piece of God and believe on just a certain part of God. So they fight as rebels, born rebels that we are. We fight the holiness of God. We fight the authority. We fight the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. We fight His love. We don't want to think that God is good. We got to say, why does God allow this? And why does God allow death? And why does God allow these armies and battles and people dying? And why does God allow all these kind of things? They try to make God the bad guy. But it's us. It's us. The sin inside of us that causes all these things. God is the righteous one. God is the Holy One, and yet people don't want to hear about His love and His kindness and His mercy and all these wonderful qualities of this great God. They don't want to hear about that because then that makes them look bad by rejecting all that. But He's open to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both have, meaning two things, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We can pray to the Lord. We pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. We have an assurance that we're going to go to heaven someday through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this not that long ago. I thought it's a good some good thoughts dealing with this issue that everything we have is through Jesus Christ. We need to be thinking about Him. We need to realize everything comes through Christ. It says this, "How can a holy God love an unholy sinner? There is a full and satisfactory answer. The Father loves the Son." Now that's key. The Father loves the Son. "And such things as He finds in the Son." This is a fair summation of the doctrine of the love of God as presented in the pages of the Bible. All the love of God is gathered up in Christ. The Father loves the Son with all the love there is, which is to say with all of Himself, God's self. And He loves directly nothing but the Son. God loves men not for themselves. Now this is important. God loves men not for ourselves, but for the sake of the Son. If Jesus is on your side, the Son, then He is your defense lawyer. He is your high priest. He is the one who died for your sins. The truth is that God loves only the Son and such things as He finds in the Son. When impenitent men have made their final decision against the Son and have walked out of His light for good, they will no longer be objects of the love of God. That's a scary thought, isn't it? God's love is, like Himself, unchanging and eternal. But it touches only those who touch the Son. The soul that rejects the Son by a final, irrevocable act forfeits forever the love of the Father. You understand now where the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life." And then it goes and puts in the negative. "And he that hath not the Son hath not life." Friends, it's all through Jesus Christ. You'll go to heaven or hell by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything is wrapped up in Him. You must believe on Him. You must believe Him and what He taught. Who He is. You need to believe who He is. What He has done for us. You need to believe what He taught, what He said. You need to believe His doctrine. You need to surrender to Him. He is Lord. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You need to surrender to Him. You need to obey Him. You need to honor Him. You need to glorify Him. He needs to be number one. Thou shalt seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Everything is wrapped up in Him. Do you know Him? Do you have Him? Are you saved by Him? Are you believing what He did? Everything is in Jesus Christ. That's the message of this church. That's the message of this pastor. And that's the message of every Christian in this room this morning. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Heavenly Father, help us now as we will give and sing a verse of invitation. Lord, may people search their hearts today. I just wanted to make this so clear that, Father, everything we have is through Jesus Christ. You love us because of what Christ has done for us and who He is in our lives. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. So our salvation is wrapped up in Him. Everything, all these good things we have because of Christ, and all these things we will not have without Him. So, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will make this real to the people He needs to this morning. Convict our hearts. Help us to be drawn to Him for a closer walk, a better walk than we've ever had before with the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. Help us to understand it. Please, Father, help us to obey it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.